What's up, everybody, and welcome to The Vinyl Exam. I'm your host, Keith, and this is episode 168. Something I've become increasingly interested in are the genres that led us to my favorite form of metal, which is thrash metal. I've bought a lot of records, read a lot of articles, and listened to a lot of music. Simplified, thrash was heavily, no pun intended, influenced by both the original wave of heavy metal and the new wave of British heavy metal, which immediately preceded thrash from roughly 1978 to 1982. Many bands and tracks influenced this era, but the most notable ones were Iron Maiden and Diamond Head. Before this era was essentially the first wave of metal, which we'll spend more time on later. I say that because the question that drives this episode is what music influenced and informed the first wave of heavy metal? What was the primordial ooze from which the metal universe formed? This episode is going to dig into that and find the musical and perhaps stylistic or spiritual predecessors to what became heavy metal in the 1970s. Now, I need to make a caveat here. This is far from a comprehensive list. What I'm trying to do here is go back in time and find those bands, albums, and songs that were the biggest influencers on those that would go on to make heavy metal music later, and also have the cleanest impact when we look back on their catalog knowing what we know now. I'm also going to minimize some bands because, hey, this is a record collecting podcast, and the point is to find some records that may have been overlooked along the way. With that said, let's quickly summarize the bands we're not going to talk about much. Cream, Jimi Hendrix, and Steppenwolf, in many ways, were the forefathers of heavy metal. Many bands referenced them as influences, and their music was available to everyone. By that same note, there are far better places to take deeper dives in their catalogs than here. Plus, they were huge influences on absolutely everyone, not just the progenitors of heavy metal. On a similar note, let's acknowledge Led Zeppelin, a band that played a massive role in heavy music, but again influenced everyone with access to a record player and an instrument. If I'm getting more specific, Led Zeppelin's influence is much stronger on bands that went on to be characterized as hair metal, both in their music and their imagery and their stage presence. Again, these bands are all-time greats and had a huge influence on the genre, but they won't be the focus here. One other band I don't know what to do with in a lot of ways is Deep Purple. They kind of straddle the influenced everyone thing with being a favorite of metal bands. But like with some of the other popular bands, I'm not going to focus on them a whole lot here. So with that said, let's go back to 1968 and 1969. Now, 1968 saw two releases specific to metal as it relates to the progenitors. The first is Vincibus Eruptum by Blue Cheer, arguably the ground zero of heavy metal. Blue Cheer is referenced by many as the world's first heavy metal band. That generally holds true. Even though other bands were on the scene, their heavy moments came after this record, either due to influence or just timing. Summertime Blues is what the band is known for, a deafening sludge version of the classic song. The band was known to play loud and bludgeon listeners, a statement borne out by some of their TV specials where their amplifiers maxed out the recording microphones of the TV studio. The record, as expected, is best heard loud. Give it a try and crank this one up. It's second time around.
Yeah.
The other 1968 record of prominence is Inagata De Vita by Iron Butterfly. This one's a little trickier than Vincibus Eruptum, because in terms of heaviness, that record never really lets up. It's a maxed out, fuzzed out wall of sound the whole time. On this album, by Iron Butterfly, there is a lot more melody. The record front to back is nowhere near as bludgeoning start to finish. The one song of relevance, however, is the title track. Its monster riff would define the sound of heavy music for many years to come. Many artists covered this record, most notably to me, Slayer, who delivered a blistering version on the Less Than Zero soundtrack nearly two decades later. 1969 saw several releases by major acts, but in terms of relevant releases specific to metal, there was one, the debut LP of Crushed Butler. It's viewed as more of an influence on punk than metal, but check out this track and you can hear its influence on the bands that would go on to influence doom metal and its variants. This is Love Fighter. In 1970, things got even more interesting. Exempting bands we excluded from the conversation at the outset, who released some really great records, there were a few metal-specific bands in regard to influence here. Because this is a record-collecting podcast, we're going to start with the easiest-to-find record and get tougher as we go along. This easy-to-find record is arguably the best of the batch and is inarguably from the band that influenced metal the most. It'd be hard to argue against anyone that says Black Sabbath is the most influential band ever. So let's get to it and play Behind the Wall of Sleep by Black Sabbath from their self-titled debut. Now, I could do episodes on Black Sabbath alone, but like with some of these other bands, I'd rather leave that in the hands of more capable historians. In fact, if you stopped listening right now and chose instead to listen to Black Sabbath's first six records back to back, I can't say I'd argue with you. But we're going to keep on rolling here. Another entry in the primordial metal pantheon, albeit a weight class or two lower, is Uriah Heep, who delivered their debut album in 1970. Now, I have two versions of this record, one called Very Heavy, Very Humble, that's their debut, and another with a different album cover and the same songs that I bought used, that's also their debut, that has no mention of that as the time. Not sure what's going on there, but one of the covers is definitely cooler than the other one. The track to check for on this record is Gypsy, a marching groove topped with swirling and refined, expertly crafted and sung vocals bringing the song home. I'm a huge proponent of their entire catalog up through Head First in the 1980s. They're a band worth checking out. Lesser known, but just as fuzzy and heavy, is the record Kingdom Come by Sir Lord Baltimore. This one cracks with a little more groove, a little less fuzz, and grooves that shade a bit more up-tempo. By virtue of the vocalist being a little less polished, this record comes off way heavier than Uriah Heep's and still sounds great today. Listening back to this, it's hard to see how this band didn't rise to the heights of their contemporaries, but their loss is a record collector's win. This is an excellent record, and here's the title track off it. Now, the most modern-sounding record in the primordial ooze, for me, is the self-titled debut from Lucifer's Friend. This record could have been released in 1978, 2006, or 2016, and I wouldn't have flinched. It's well-played, heavy, and is loaded with satisfying guitar bits and vocals that I dig. Now, like a lot of bands not named Black Sabbath, they get a lot of their heaviness from fuzz organ. Musically, this comes off as a more raw version of Deep Purple, but if that's your thing, this record is a must check out. Of course, thank you for listening. You can always check out some more good stuff on thevinylexam.com, or you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, or Patreon. If you're interested in checking out our Patreon, please do. We have a link on our Vinyl Exam site, and you can also find us through the Patreon search. On that note, I'd like to thank official Vinyl Examiners Brian Siebold and Yan Wong, and executive producers Janine Cuevas, Austell Gray, and Ben Lack. To send out this episode, capping off our skimming of the origins of metal, here's Lucifer's Friend.